This is the Savvy Traveler. I'm Rudy Maxa. Now, 1998 was a big year for travel. The airlines flew at close to 70% capacity, and they announced major alliances: Delta and United, American and U.S. Airways, Continental and Northwest. And travel experts everywhere are already predicting a record year in 99 for air travel, hotel occupancy, transatlantic trips. So I've got an old colleague of mine, Ed Perkins, former editor-in-chief at Consumer Reports Travel Letter, to help sort out what this means for travelers. Ed, the airlines are trumpeting these alliances as fabulous opportunities for consumers to get reciprocal membership in airport clubs and to earn and use frequent flyer miles on partner airlines. So what's the bottom line? Is this good for us?
I think it's not, and I think that those two advantages that they're touting, both of them are really smoke screens. For one thing, they talk about mutual club use, fine. But when you figure that getting into one of those club programs is a $300 to $400 a year proposition, you're talking about a minuscule number of very frequent business travelers that can take advantage of that. Similarly, on the frequent flyer side, they keep saying about how wonderful it's going to be that, you can earn miles on two airlines or three different airlines and use the awards. You know, in the 13 years that I edited Consumer Reports Travel Letter, I got very few comments and complaints from people about saying, gee, we can't get from point A to point B on frequent flyer miles. But I got zillions of complaints about we can't get a seat. The problem with those programs is how many seats they offer. And until they expand the number of seats they offer, all these other advantages, they so-called, are meaningless.
What are the disadvantages of these alliances?
Oh, I think the disadvantages are simply that when you used to have two companies competing and now there's only one, there's no competition. I mean, any time an industry consolidates the way the airline industry is trying to consolidate, you're going to have upward pressure on fares.
All right, let's talk a little about this millennium madness. Can I see the millennium? Can I usher it in at the pyramids at Giza or celebrate New Year's in Machu Picchu? I mean, are all the seats booked and all the hotels taken already?
As far as I know, they're not. The travel industry likes to get people in the mode of saying, gee, you really better reserve early because this is obviously going to be one of these popular things and it's going to sell out in a hurry. In point of fact, that the travel industry often pushes an event like this way ahead of the demand that's really going to be there. Now, certainly there will be some places, as you say, maybe the pyramids in Giza, maybe someplace in Tibet or something like that, that has a fairly small hotel base to begin with, that will probably sell out. But I think if anybody who wants to find some place kind of special to celebrate New Year's Eve, the millennium, is not going to have any trouble finding some place to go.
I'm talking with one of the smartest guys in travel, Ed Perkins. He's the former editor-in-chief of Consumer Reports Travel Letter. Is the passenger train going to go the way of the buffalo?
Trains make no economic sense at all if you're talking about slow, long-haul, infrequent service. Where trains are an ideal form of transportation is in short city pair service where, with high-speed trains, you can actually beat flying door-to-door and certainly beat driving. And the best example of that in this country is the Northeast Corridor between Washington and New York. But these long-haul trains are really nothing more than land cruises, and I think what should be done there is turn the whole program over to tour operators who will run these trains the way they run cruise ships.
What's the biggest surprise we're going to see in the next year or two in the travel industry?
Oh, that's a good one.
Airlines giving us more leg room, perhaps?
No, that would be that if true, would be a big surprise. No, that raises a very interesting question. Because the public, I think, has to realize that it is partly responsible for the sad state of product quality we find in the rear of the airplane, in coach when we're flying these days. And that is because the airline passengers are simply saying, we want the cheapest airfare, and they don't seem to say we want quality. And I think, so if the marketplace is saying we want cheap, that's what the airlines are giving us. And the only people who get anything better are either very frequent flyers or business travelers on expense accounts who are going to pay the outrageous prices for the front of the plane. A couple of airlines overseas lines have introduced a product that's basically a premium economy product. Costs about 20% more than even the cheap coach fares that they offer. Offers more legroom and wider seats. Now, it seems to me that should be a good product, and at least on these airlines that are offering it, they seem to be doing very well with it. But I don't see any sign of any major U.S. or European airline offering that product, and I think it's too bad, because I think there would be a market for it.
So what do you think the biggest problem on the horizon for the travel industry is, Ed?
I think the biggest problem here in the United States is the absolute essential requirement that we upgrade the FAA's traffic control system. We've been playing around with this thing as a political football for years, and if we don't do something and do something soon, we're going to start seeing mid-air collisions and crashes at airports and so on that just won't stop.
You think it'll happen?
I don't know. I'm going to be working pretty hard on that over the next year or two, but it's awfully hard to get motion on a problem that's as big as this.
Ed Perkins is the former editor-in-chief of Consumer Reports Travel Letter. Ed, thanks so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure being with you.